This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Sierra Doctor in studio. We'll also hear a report from Randy Conan, who's on the road today. The sharp rises in production costs, combined with fluctuating crop and livestock prices, changing environmental and tax policies, along with COVID uncertainties, are impacting a farmer's economic outlook. The November Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer declined by 5 points from the previous month due to pessimism from farmers on the current and future outlook of the ag economy. 43% of farmers taking this monthly survey expect farm input prices to increase by more than 16% in 2022. It's not only fertilizer, but farm machinery, seed, and fuel price increases.
Strong ethanol margins are keeping corn demand for ethanol use strong. Total Farm Marketing Senior Market Advisor Naomi Blom says even with higher corn prices, ethanol producers are making money.
The demand is there, especially as we've, you know, come out of COVID and with energy prices overall still above year-ago levels. The demand is there, so that's important. Now, of course, we're still waiting to hear news out of Washington as far as the mandates are going to be for the rest of this year and even looking beyond, and that's a piece of the puzzle to fall into place yet.
Blom says even with those blending requirements remain unchanged, ethanol still has a friendly story. Multiple sources have confirmed that the Red River Farm Network today, the much-anticipated RVOs, will be released this afternoon.
Work on the new farm bill is expected to begin in 2022. Pro Farmer analyst Jim Wiesmeyer anticipates an extension of the current farm bill when the older policy expires in 2023.
The House is likely going to be controlled by the Republicans in 2023. So why would the Republicans on the House Ag Committee want to go too far in coming up with the new farm bill? Tom Vilsack has increased food stamp funding by $250 billion in August, but by executive order, the Democrats are trying to add another $70 billion for climate and debt relief that's in the BBB bill. A lot of it's going through conservation dams, so there's a clear preference for conservation programs in the years ahead.
Wiesmeyer says that would make the new farm bill more than $1 trillion.
So the Republicans are not going to want to spend much more money, even if they take over. And I think an extension is even likely if the Democrats keep control. Conservation improvement, you know, food programs, I've already said. Up to 90% of the farm bill is already nutrition spending. You wouldn't get a farm bill if it wouldn't be that way. Farm groups are beginning to tell me they want to improve the safety net for good reason, due to the high cost of production, which is outstripping support levels in the Title I program. So I think that will be a key issue ahead, such as raising reference prices, maybe loan rate levels, et cetera. That's for, you know, cash flow.
Agricultural equipment companies are optimistic about the year ahead. According to a survey conducted by the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, 65% of its members believe demand for farm equipment will be above normal. Sales are up so far this year, and AEM members are expected similar growth next year. The expectations are higher for some equipment categories, including tractors, tillage and planting equipment, and sprayers. 68% of the ag equipment participants expect supply chain issues to continue through 2022.
It's been a choppy day for the grain markets. Bauer Trading market analyst Ben Cash says tensions between the Ukraine and Russia are showing through in the wheat complex.
Just availability coming out, you know, if we do have military tensions there, you know, any kind of shipments, movement, exports, could be in jeopardy. It could halt a lot of shipments, so it could definitely bring some business over here to the U.S., possibly Europe, definitely Australia would pick up some business as well as their harvest moves along, but it's definitely supportive to this wheat market here.
The Minnesota Canola Growers Association's Canola Symposium is underway in Roseau. Randy Conan is at the event.
Minnesota Canola Council's President Beth Nelson is my guest. Beth, a bit of a hybrid event going on this year for this year's Canola Symposium.
We do. A lot of our speakers, their companies, we're not letting them travel in person yet. So speakers are joining us, some speakers are joining us virtually, but the attendees are in person. We were pleased to have over 80 people attend the event in person, and good to be back in person. So
for sure. I guess a little early to hammer home a take home, but we've got a tight canola supply worldwide. Attitude seems to be pretty good.
Yeah, prices pretty good right now as well. According to the NAS statistics, Minnesota had the highest yield per acre out of the entire country, coming in at 1740 on average, and that compares to North Dakota at 1100. So we're getting good yields in Minnesota. Hopefully we'll see our acres increase.
Sure. Some of the research projects, we're going to hear from Dave Grafstrom later on here this afternoon. What are some of the hot topics for Minnesota canola as far as research?
Sure. Winter canola seems to be a hot topic right now. A few growers are even trying it this year. It is in the trials. We're looking at some fertilizer studies and just a whole host of different things. Following the symposium, we will have not everybody is allowing us to, but most of the PowerPoints will be online. So people that weren't able to make it can go online and take a look at it. Our URL is mncanola.org.
Minnesota Canola Council President Beth Nelson. From Roseau and the Minnesota Canola Council's Canola Symposium, I'm Randy Conan for the Red River Farm Network.
Thanks, Randy. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem will deliver her annual budget address this afternoon. Noem is expected to make her recommendations to the legislature about managing those revenues and federal dollars from the American Rescue Plan.
A general fund budget surplus of more than $7.7 billion is projected for Minnesota in the next two-year budget cycle. That's according to latest economic forecast from Minnesota's Department of Management and Budget. About $870 million of that is expected to go into the state's rainy day fund. Governor Tim Walz said he plans to propose a robust supplemental spending plan in early 2022. The governor and state lawmakers will decide what to do with this surplus in the upcoming legislative session starting January 31st. This is Sierra Doctor with the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. State lawmakers are working on redistricting in Minnesota. East Grand Forks, Minnesota-based Senator Mark Johnson says there's work that's been going on in the background.
The House and the Senate have been having hearings on redistricting across the state. Also, the court is doing a parallel process because for the last 50 years, the court's the one that actually determines the final lines at the end of the day with input from the legislature. So we've been all working together to do this. It probably wouldn't come together for that special session. We'll probably need a little bit more time. We have until February 15th to do that. It's going to be interesting and the impact in rural Minnesota especially.
Johnson says as rural Minnesota's population gets smaller, that means bigger districts and fewer representation.
It worries me for our ag economy and whatnot, as they lose contact with rural Minnesota. We got to be much more vocal and strong in representing our districts. So far, there's been several proposals all over the board, from switching up congressional districts to look completely different to, you know, pretty much the same looking, only, you know, larger rural districts, smaller metropolitan districts. So nothing is official yet. Unlike states like North Dakota that have already signed in their new redistricting plan. Our apportionment and redistricting is still going to be determined probably in February or March of this coming year.
Grain markets are also pre-positioning ahead of the USDA's December WASDE report released on Thursday. Martinson Ag Risk Management Market Analyst Randy Martin said is expecting USDA to trim wheat exports.
Wheat exports cut a little bit just because, you know, we're at the lowest level in history for this time frame for our wheat exports. So I do think we're going to see wheat exports get trimmed. Corn ethanol demand might get expanded a little bit because of just how strong the ethanol and the margins are and the returns. So I think we're going to see ethanol numbers increase. And I think we could see soybean exports decreased a little bit because of the idea that Brazil is going to be bringing soybeans on track a little bit sooner.
U.S. Grains Council Chairman Chad Willis says key markets for grains and byproducts are holding steady.
Well, you look at this past year and, you know, China came on like gangbusters, and hopefully we can keep that market going. But our neighbors, Mexico and Canada, have been good markets. Canada in the ethanol, Mexico corn and barley both. Their appetite for protein over there is huge, and, you know, I think the market will stay hot for a while.
With more focus on climate issues, Willis believes more countries will continue to increase their inputs of ethanol.
There's a lot of countries that, you know, want to reduce their carbon, and we all know that ethanol can get us the quickest carbon reduction in the fuel supply, you know, a lot faster than probably electric. But you look at some of these countries, and electric's probably not even on the table for many years to come either. So right now, ethanol is the main thing to reduce that carbon footprint in the fuel supply.
In addition to serving as chairman of the U.S. Grains Council, Willis also farms in Willmar, Minnesota.
Northern Crop Institute is in its 40th year informing and educating buyers about the crops grown in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana. NCI's director is Mark Jirik.
Whether that's how good of tofu it makes, how good of soy milk it makes, how good of end product it makes, there's a lot of end-use quality variability in varieties of soybeans. So making sure those buyers know that and making sure that they know what we can supply from our region.
Jirik says agriculture is still a relationship business.
Forming those relationships, forming those bonds, and being able to get those buyers. Today it's been virtually, but back when we're back in person and doing more of our programs in person, being able to have them come out to the fields, talk to the farmers, and form those relationships with the growers in our region. It's what we've done for 40 years.
Positive returns in crop production begin with the seed. Channel agronomist Morgan Schmidt says that puts the focus on hybrid and variety selection.
That's going to be really core to build a sound risk management plan. So products that perform well through stress, products that perform well when it rains, or products that fit across broad acres, you know, weather environments too. That's part of our risk management plan that we really need to work on.
Agronomic management practices should also be considered.
That can help conserve soil moisture, products that get us, more ear flex, things like that that can help us to conserve and push yields at the end of the year if we do get some timely rains.
Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly Farm Net News e-newsletter. You can also download this broadcast, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's all at rrfn.com. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome back to Inside Agriculture with the Red River Farm Network. AMVAC offers an aftermarket system that can be added to the planter, giving the farmer the ability to prescriptively apply multiple dry or liquid products while planting. Jim Lappin oversees a Simpass portfolio and uses iron chlorosis in soybeans as an example.
Those areas don't really move a lot from year to year, but they don't affect the whole field. So does it make sense to pay for that incremental iron across the whole field when it really only affects certain zones within the field? So by targeting those specific agronomic problems or coming with solutions that solve those specific problems, one, he's going to spend less on inputs overall, or he can take those input dollars and make sure he's solving agronomic yield limiting issues field by field instead of whole farm.
Rather than using a flat rate across the entire field, Lappin says this program can deliver product specifically to the part of the field that needs it.
In the first year of its carbon program, Lando Lakes made more than $4 million in cash payments to participating farmers. Truterra, Lando Lakes' sustainability business, sequestered more than 2,000 metric tons of carbon. The cash payments averaged $20,000 per farmer. Those participating in 2022 may be eligible for a one-time upfront payment of $20 per ton of carbon. That payment will be based on a change in farming practices, like reductions in tillage or the addition of cover crops. Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, these grain markets continue to trade mixed. Livestock markets trading mixed now as well. March Minneapolis wheat up 9 3/4 at 10:37 1/2. March Chicago wheat up 1 1/2 at 8:07 3/4. March Kansas City wheat up 4 1/4. March corn up 2 1/2 at 5.86. May corn up 2 1/2 at 5.88 1/2. January beans down 8 at 12.53 1/2. March beans down 5 at 12.61 1/4. January canola down $6.60 Canadian at $1,020.50 Canadian. December live cattle up 7 cents at $138.25. February down 45 cents. January feeder cattle down 10 cents at $165.15. Be sure to check out the Red River Farm Network's event calendar. There's lots on the agenda coming up. December 8th and 9th, Prairie Grains Conference in Grand Forks. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.